As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo.
Yo.
He's my favorite.
Snowcone?
Yeah, he's always been my favorite.
Everybody knows that. Mm-hmm. Painfully obvious to anyone who's ever listened to this program. You can give him all the special treatment.
I get excited when I see a text from him.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, Snowcone's texting me. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yay.
Talk a lot, the two of you, at night.
We have
before.
Me.
I know.
We so have.
You guys like to talk well about everything. Sports and TV shows and, you know. You
dad
guys are close. Very
stuff.
Yeah, dad stuff.
Dad
absolutely.
Stuff
I know
a lot,
Lazo asks Snowcone for parenting advice
yeah.
quite a bit. I think it's
a lot
sweet.
Of times he'll be like, hey, I need dad advice. I'll be like, call yours. Ha ha. And
does.
Then I block him.
He does. The first time it was jarring.
But now it's funny. I mean, and it's double funny now because he's dead.
Right.
So before it was just because he was a deadbeat. Now he's actually dead.
Right.
So, you know, it's double funny. And Laszlo cares so little in reality that you don't even know. Is the joke that it's because he's dead, or does he even remember that your dad passed away and
thing.
It really kind of messed
right.
with your head a
right.
couple months ago? Yeah.
Right.
I was 50-50 on whether he remembers that day for you and you know, how you were going through some feelings. So yeah. That's super funny stuff. Really.
Yeah,
no other way to describe
right.
it. Super funny stuff.
Hey, I gave you good advice when your dad died.
Oh, yeah. You've always given me good dad advice.
Yeah.
What was the advice, right?
Just like the short version of it was like the way you can honor him and get over your feelings about all the things that he did and everything else is be a good dad.
I remember that. Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, just own that.
Yeah.
There you go. Now you've done it. So.
What?
I mean,
you've given the advice?
Advice?
Okay, yeah, you've given the advice. That's what I was going to say. We're waiting
to see. I can lead a horse to water.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Did you remember to bet?
Yeah, I bet.
I just
did it.
I just did it.
It's the White Sox, Red Sox.
Today's the day for Snowcone to start. It's payday.
Yeah. Now, people have been listening. Right. I've been trying to get you guys to make money. Like, we all talk about tariffs and the stock market and Bitcoin.
Who
I'm
cares?
Like, yo, you don't know anything about that.
Right.
That's for people that are in a club that you're not in.
Exactly.
You're not allowed to be in that club, but you are allowed to be in the sports gambling club, and I'm telling you, the White Sox suck. Just bet on them to lose every game. You make money.
I mean, just look right now. I'm looking at 2025. Obviously, it's early in the season, but they've won two games
yeah.
And they've lost 10. That's not very good.
No.
And that's about what you'd expect. Actually, I'd say that's one more win, honestly, than maybe people would have expected by now. They just don't win very often.
Mm-mm.
So when they do, you double your bet.
Right, double your bet.
And if you don't have to bet as much as Lazo, you can
and
bet
even
smaller
if you
amounts.
Don't, like, people are all worried about this math. Look, it's easy. You don't have to, you know,
yeah, they lose
you don't
enough,
have
you
to math
have to
it out. It. But really, just keep betting on them. If you want to just take the math out of it, just keep betting on them to lose.
Yeah.
You're going to win money. I mean, if you don't want to do it my way, don't do it my way. But, I mean, I didn't invent the martingale system.
Yeah. Yeah, no. And you're right, though. They lose enough that if you are worried about this doubling up on your bet because they won, then just don't do it. Because as long as you continue to bet them to lose throughout the season, you will make money.
Or
you just won't
make
as much.
If it doesn't cover because the odds are minus whatever, then triple it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Start with 5. If you lose, triple it. How about that?
But I mean, I could sit here.
I just do the double it.
I could sit here all year and bet $10 for them to lose.
You're going to make money.
Every game. And I honestly think that my app will tell me at some point.
You would have made, just think, I think, I don't know how many games they won, but let's just say 45. Let's just give them 50, which I don't
last
think they
year,
made it to.
Mm-hmm.
You would have made it $10. You made $1,100.
Right. So you
minus the juice of what the, you know, the minus 165 or whatever is. So say, you know, $900. Take 300 off. Okay. Well, you got a better plan?
Right. And if you're nervous about it, bet a small amount. If you bet $100, yeah, you will probably win quite a bit of money. And last year, as we said, you would have won a lot of money. Snowcone, I know you're probably not interested in, you know, betting $100 and then doubling down to. I'm not either. So I'm just doing $10. Now, does it pay great? No. Like when they lose today, it's going to pay me $6. You know, and I could just say, well, I'm just going to take that loss and I'll bet again because they'll lose enough. But I will double my bet because I'm so confident that they're not going to win two in a row. I mean, at some point this season, they probably will.
Yeah,
but the other thing, too, that you can do is if you're that kind of gambling mentality where you are superstitious or you get a feeling or whatever, which is me, you know, basically dumb, then you can put a dollar or two on the White Sox to win, to cover that bet. If I bet $10 on them to lose and a dollar that they win, well, that dollar that they win right now pay me pretty good money. I'd have to go back and look to see what odds are giving me. And if I bet it halfway through the game.
Yeah, it's overtime. I get it.
Yeah. So it's really just.
Just make money. I'm trying to tell you.
A gravy train.
You're following some jackass on Facebook being like, well, maybe I should invest in this. You know, he doesn't know.
No. And
I'm telling you the White Sox are not going to win more than half their games. So this is a guaranteed money winner.
Yes.
Guaranteed. There's never been a lock in the world like this.
I mean, I'm sure if there has been, we haven't discussed it. I don't recall
it. This is White Sox.
That's it. It's still the White Sox, though. It's basically still this same team.
Exactly.
So it's a junk team, and their misery can be your joy. I do follow like Wall Street Bets and stuff on Reddit, and I saw this morning. You know,
a lot of talk and
Trump coin or whatever.
Say, but they're like, oh, here's this company. And they'll say, this is why you should invest in this company. They do circuit breakers from, you know, Norway, blah, 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 blah. And they were like, it's a whole all I got to tell you is the White Sox not good at baseball.
Really not good.
Like, I don't have to give you, you know how you know I'm right? Because that's all I have to tell you. And then you can look it up yourself. Like, you don't have to know where semiconductors are produced. You can watch the game and be like, I think he's right. These guys are not very good. I should bet on them to lose.
Yeah.
And you are literally shorting the White Sox.
That's it.
You're saying, I think the White Sox suck, and I'm going to short them.
Yeah.
If you want to turn it into stocks, you're like, they're that bad.
They lost.
I'm going to short the Sox, and then boom, you win.
Yeah, call it that if it makes you feel better.
Right.
And, you know, just realize that you're just sports betting like everyone else, but it's no different. I mean, what do you think day trading is? It's just making bets. And, of course, they come up with fancy terminology like shorting. And all that, and buy the low, and whatever. Okay, but to be honest, because of those fancy terms, I see that stuff, and I'm like, well, wait. So even Trump is posting and saying, hey, now's a great time to buy, but buy what?
Yeah, don't know.
Buy what? I do know that I can buy the Sox.
Buy the Sox.
Misery. I can bet on it. Yes, I can bet that they will lose. They lost 121 games last year. That's a bad team. That is a very poor team.
Yes.
And so,
they're not any better this year.
No, and what I wonder is, I mean, are they just historically bad baseball team historically bad for the White Sox. No, I mean
like that Royals thing where the Royals were, you know, a few years ago when they were the worst team, and Detroit when they were the worst
team. That's what I mean.
Like
if you see that there's that team, a lot of times that they predict that season, you know, going into it, that team's going to suck this year, and they do. This is a good strategy.
Right.
If you want to bet on sports, it's a good strategy.
I mean, if it was ever risky, it was risky last year when I did it. Because there is a chance that a bad team, like, oh my God, they're bad, and then they just make a run.
Sure.
Right? And that happens. But now you've looked at how bad they were, and then you've looked at their additions this year, which is none.
Yep.
And then you looked at the other team's additions that they're going to play, and it's some. You're like, well, they're not going to be better this year.
Yep.
And they're certainly not going to be 50 games better.
Yep.
Well, so there you go. I'm just trying to help you, for Christ's sakes.
And all you have to do is look at, I mean, I know, again, like I said, we're early into the season, but just look at how they've played. It's not just their record. You can go back and watch some of the lowlights of these games and just look at how they've played and go, I think we got another loser on our hands.
We're good.
I think we got another loser on our hands, boys.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo. So I know you saw, because you texted me this morning, AI was talking about it as well. It was a trend originally on, what do they call that thing? TikTok. And it's Gen Zers. This whole obsession with like generation versus generation, I don't know if that was always a thing or not. It certainly feels like I started to notice it. I don't remember the millennials versus Gen X stuff. Like as millennials were entering the workforce, I don't remember as much pop culture stuff about things millennials hate about Gen X.
Right.
I know that it existed, but man.
Millennials and boomers, right?
Maybe, yeah, some of that. But there's so much of it in the last 10, 15 years.
Right.
So much of it now. And of course, now we've moved on to. I saw an actual New York Post article talking about Gen Z. I think anytime they put like Gen Z in a headline, it must get them clicks. But they had an article, I think today, talking about how Gen Z is just now realizing that they can make coffee at home. They're trying to save money.
Oh, right.
And I'm like, this is so ridiculous. They knew that they could make coffee at home, okay?
It reminds me
of, they're adults.
And I don't want to, but it reminds me of the AOC thing. Like, what's a garbage disposal?
Right.
You know what a garbage disposal is. Like, I live in the city. Like, okay.
Yeah.
But you've never seen one? You've never watched a movie you've never watched a movie where someone turned one on and you're like, what is that?
Cut their hand, lost the diamond ring in the garbage disposal.
What is this crazy?
What was vibrating? Oh my God. Is there a bomb in there?
Is that like a spaceship?
Right. No. You knew what a garbage disposal was. These kids know how to make coffee.
Right. Boomers and Gen X, whatever. If you're busting millennials' balls because you say they don't know how to make coffee.
Yeah.
They know. They just don't. But they know what a coffee pot is. They don't look at a coffee pot and go, spaceship?
Right. Must be for boiling soup.
Right.
I don't like soup, so I don't use the soup machine.
So many millennials just going into their aunt's kitchen.
Right.
And putting their hand in the sink and turning on the garbage.
Right.
It's a catastrophe everywhere.
How do we make them aware of these things? Well, the thing today, so I skip over a lot of these, or we skip over a lot of these, see a ton of these, and most of them are pretty stupid. But the one that you had texted me about this morning that AI was talking about was the things that younger people, specifically Gen Z, has said, hey, here's the five things that Gen X got away with that would not be okay today.
Yeah.
And, you can probably think of a couple off the top of your head. I'm sure you can think of the one. What I consider the one. Because the one for me would be some of the offensive humor. Now, I think we're starting to see people got tired of the political correctness
Stay me, you go in and out. Eventually it comes back.
Eventually it works.
Look at that guy. Black t-shirt, sub pop hat.
That's
so retro and cool. You're like,
it's so retro and cool. It's new.
Right,
it's
exactly.
New
like, look at me.
Yeah. So offensive humor, they're talking about all the TV shows, movies, music from Gen X that leaned heavily into these stereotypes, humor that mocked maybe marginalized groups, things like that. That stuff was once seen as edgy, and now it would be seen as inappropriate. And I do still think that a lot of that is true. I think there's a lot of people talk about the like Revenge of the Nerds scene or whatever,
where the guy
puts a mask on and rapes the girl. But there are multiple examples of things like that where they go, you probably wouldn't put that in a movie today. I do think that we're becoming a little less PC than we were at our height a couple years ago, and we're starting to free up a little bit, but I do think that some of that stuff certainly wouldn't fly today. I don't think that they put that stuff in a movie for theaters, that someone goes, that doesn't seem right. So that's the first one.
To a degree.
Some of the offensive
I think we're getting there where maybe we could.
Right.
Where people start to try to push it.
I think the
stuff... that's what comedy lives for the most part, right? I think everybody was so scared. So I think you're right. No. But I think maybe like in a year, 2 years, people are like, all right, let's really push that a little bit. Let's, you know,
I agree.
Let's see.
I agree. But I do think you go back sometimes and look at some of the stuff, and it's kind of shocking that a lot of times it didn't feel like these movies or comedians were laughing with these marginalized groups. It felt like they were just making fun of them.
Sure.
And that I don't know that people would find that as funny today to just start throwing, you know, calling, using slurs to describe a gay guy in a way where
you get, you know, pushback for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't know that you'd necessarily wouldn't sell tickets.
I don't know. But I don't know if they'd still put that in a movie or not. Right. You know what I mean? But anyway, that was the first one. The second one they said is this boys will be boys mentality. And that kind of, you know, I think overlaps a little bit with some of that humor, because that's what some of that humor was specifically. But these behaviors that were excused by saying boys will be boys. I mean, Gillette did that whole ad campaign during the Me Too movement.
Yeah.
Where they're talking about we need to raise better sons or whatever. I don't remember.
You know, interestingly enough, as much as that played during, you know, the height of the Me Too movement, I think if they put that commercial out today, people would be like, screw you.
Maybe.
Right? Like, I think that, you know, that's how you start to see it coming back. I guarantee you Gillette would not do that today.
I think it would be really weird.
Right.
It would
be really weird.
Yeah. But I do think that I get what they're saying, that now there's some accountability that's expected sometimes. Not always, but oftentimes there's accountability that's expected, right? But you know what I mean? Like if somebody, I don't know if it was ever really like this, but if it was ever really like Mad Men or whatever in the workplace where someone could slap a girl's ass and go, what's up, toots, or whatever, that these days people will go, well, I'm pretty sure you can't do that. I feel like they weren't probably doing that too much in the 80s. But if they might have been doing it more.
Well, not long ago, I was slapping girls' asses around here.
Well, that's true. You've continued it on again, but that goes back to your thing. Keep doing it long enough.
I will say our friend Jenny, who worked here for a long time, got mad at me, and she's like, you always slap all the other girls' asses and never mind. You remember that?
Yep, I do.
I was like, well, get over here, toots.
Yep, I remember.
I'm going to leave you out. Just figure you're a little uptight. You look uptight to me.
Right. I thought maybe you wouldn't think it's funny.
Right. I thought you're like, oh, don't touch my ass. But I mean, if that's what you want, get over here.
Again, this goes back to if you stay Lazo long enough, eventually Lazo will come back around. Mental health stigma is the third one. The idea that you don't talk about anything wrong with your brain.
Oh, yeah.
That you don't, you know, and I remember that. I'm old enough that I remember if someone was prescribed a pill that was for something mental, some sort of psychiatric complaint.
Well, you was just, I mean, you anxiety like, medicine was like getting a lobotomy.
It was a big deal, and people would even say like, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't know. You know, there was a big stigma there, and it was like it could become this elephant in the room if somebody found out that someone was, I mean, going to a therapist. I remember one of our friends going to a therapist, like, he goes to a therapist, did you know?
Right.
And we would laugh and joke that he was going to a therapist.
And a lot of my friends did too, their parents.
Oh, we made fun of, I mean, I only knew one guy when I was a kid that went to therapy, and when we found out about it, we were making fun of him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we thought something was wrong with him. Like, this guy must have serious problems.
Wasn't like
to go to a therapist.
For me, at my school, I don't think people were that weird about it in high school. I do think, like, you start to see it come back, though. Like, a lot of people would say, like, if you took whatever the anti-anxiety medicine was of, you know, the 80s, Valium or whatever, right? If you took that as a kid, you know, you'd get a lot of parents who would say, what are you doing? Like, part of his magic is that he can't sit still. Part of his magic is that he doesn't understand what's going on. That's what makes him, you know, don't make him a plant. Don't make him what you want him to be. And now it's really crazy. You go 30 years later and you're like, oh, you start to hear that again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you hear a lot of it again. Like, you know,
again, it swings.
I won't teach my kid to sit there and do nothing. I see it on Instagram all the time. That's what I won't do to my kid.
Because it became
I'll learn
so
what he's
open.
Good at it and embrace it. So it's almost like, it's not like in the sense of don't talk about your mental health. That pendulum isn't coming back.
I don't think so.
But the one where it's like, let's not just automatically put kids on Adderall or anxiety medicine or whatever, whether that's SSRIs. Good or bad, that is coming back.
Yes.
To where like, hey, if your kid, you know, is easily agitated and all those things, that's part of what makes him embrace it and figure out, you know, I don't know whether that's right or not. I'm not a doctor. All I can tell you is that the White Sox are going to lose. But I do see that attitude being way more pervasive than it was 10 years ago.
And it's not surprising, because I do think you could, if you think kids were suddenly over-medicated, It's easy to think that. Suddenly everybody's medicated. Now, maybe suddenly everybody needs it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or
yeah,
just, hey, we have
or
access to this.
Needed it. Or they always needed it. We have access. But I understand.
But I see how it's easy to go, why is everybody medicated?
I see the argument on both sides.
I do. Yeah. Number four is excessive.
We've all said it. There's a certain oddly, you know, maybe that's not like right today, but in the not so distant past, meaning months or years maybe even, there's a badge of honor to be on anxiety medicine.
Right, it became
right?
This is like cool.
Yeah,
oh, the trouble,
cool. Yeah,
the tortured
I'm on an SSRI,
soul.
You know. My parents call it my happy medicine because I'm a, like, you know what I mean?
It was the torture.
Yeah, I'm a tortured, unfinished person, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, okay. And I'm not saying you didn't need it. I'm not saying you are, but, you know, there was something like if you're not, it was almost the other way. Like, you're not?
Yeah.
You're just kind of like, what, happy and go through right. life? You're like, yeah.
What
and
a
like,
loser. What a loser. So dumb. He's just happy all the time. He doesn't understand
right.
the world.
It's like the other way, too. Like, okay.
Yep. Number four is excessive smoking. Smoking was still
that's
with
me,
Gen
man.
X was the last gen really where it was just accepted everywhere.
Yep.
You could smoke in public places, restaurants.
That's crazy the difference. So
work.
I'm like a little bit of an older dad for my youngest, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like right in pocket with my oldest,
okay.
right? Like everybody who shows up to things with my oldest. And even if I go to a baseball game, if my youngest is playing, I'm the only one who walks out of the parking lot to have a
oh,
cigarette.
Really?
With the older ones, they'll be like, you know, you'll go hide in the woods somewhere. There's always a dude back there.
Couple
like, yeah,
other
yeah,
dads.
Yeah, a couple other dads. Yeah. It's like you can just tell the difference in that 8 to 9 years.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. It's heavily restricted now. And they say, you know, it's also frowned upon now, which back then it really wasn't. Of course, doctors and stuff were aware, and it started to frown on it. But it was still cool, and it kind of lost that. And, it, you know, in the course of a generation, it was pretty quick. When you think back in the, to how public smoking was,
yeah.
you could do it everywhere, how pervasive the ads were. Even when they banned it on TV, there were still ads on race cars.
I can remember my dad being,
Joe Campbell.
But my dad being a third base coach with a cigarette in his mouth.
Yeah. They, people
like, could you
everywhere.
Imagine that now?
No. But, you know? But
I remember baseball managers watching them In the MLB.
Yes.
And players smoking in the dugout.
Yep.
They weren't that long.
There was smokers everywhere.
Yeah.
And it just, it stopped. And
no, I think Jim Leland was probably the last. They even when they, you know, I think he got the Tigers of the World Series and they were like, well, there's Jim Leland. And you'd see him get up in the middle of the game and walk into, up the hallway towards the locker room. And it's like, he's going to have a heater.
That's that.
Because he used to sit in the dugout. So they're like, you can't do that, man.
Anymore. Yeah,
you know,
they didn't
there's
want
cameras
to chew
on you, so they'd be like, where's Jim Leland? You know, they go on the bench and like, where is he? And he's like, he went in the locker room to have a heater in the middle of the fourth inning. Like, they'll be fine without me. I can see it on TV.
Yeah, I mean, that those bands weren't that long ago. The chewing tobacco and all
sure.
that stuff, that wasn't all that long ago.
You still see them do that, though.
But they're not supposed
they're
to.
They're not supposed to.
Yeah. And then Latchkey Kids was the last one. You know, the Gen X and older millennial kids were often left unsupervised after school.
Yeah.
And that nowadays, I didn't know that nowadays that's considered
The guilt
poor
I feel,
practice.
You know, really. Just from, you know, single parent guilt. Like my.
You feel guilt over it?
I do.
Even with their age?
Yeah, my youngest gets off the bus by himself, lets himself, puts the coat in, makes himself something to eat, right? And if I don't get home right away, I may not see him till, like yesterday. I went to, 2 days ago, I went to my oldest ball game straight from here.
Uh-huh.
So I left here, went to his ball game, didn't get home till 9. I didn't see him.
Yeah.
I got home. He's like, hey, what's up? You know, I sent him food.
Right.
I was like, did you make yourself something to eat? He's like, yeah. And then I'm like, all right, you want some Chipotle? I'll send it to you. You know, we're texting, which is nice.
I mean, I liked getting home. And
me too.
I loved
it.
Me too.
I was a latchkey kid. I am Jim X. I don't know what he feels.
Yeah.
I mean, I asked him. He said he's fine, which I'm sure he is. But I know from a parent's standpoint, I'm like, man, I should be there to greet him when he gets off the bus, right?
Well, is it really? They say in this thing, it's considered neglectful by today's standards. I mean, come on, is that the case?
I would have been pissed if I got home and my parents were
there. I mean, I don't know what age we're talking here, but considered neglectful by today's standards. I just assume that a lot of kids still probably do it because a lot of parents are both still working. It's not like suddenly.
I don't know. You know, I'm being honest. I don't think so.
Really?
I think a lot of kids go home and their mom or their dad's there.
I think
there,
it's changed a lot.
Huh. Well, I mean, look, I'll trust TikTok and AI over my own. I don't even know anybody who has a kid that comes home, I guess, other than you. So I just would have thought that it still happens because so many parents still both work. And that was why Latchkey Kids became a thing, right? Mom started going to the office.
Well, a lot of times, it's different now, too, because a lot of parents work from
home. That's true.
Mom works from home. Yeah. So when he gets home, she's there.
That's true.
Yeah, but not everybody's mom is a webcam star. Right? Okay. Like, I mean,
but a lot of them are.
She's right. Cashing in that canned soda money.
Stop
by
it.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo. You got a shot in there?
I don't see how we couldn't. I feel one.
Nice. Boom. I know we got that big bottle that our friend Pancho gave me, but you know, I don't want to break into that just yet.
Yeah, you've got, I think you've got some more of those.
Okay, good.
Oh, yeah. You're good.
All right.
You're good. Want to do the news here in a minute?
Yeah, sure.
Good. Me too.
No, I was thinking about this. You know, as we're trying to come in a little bit early today, and I was thinking, well, Snow Cone's not going to make it. He probably had 13 claws last night, and God knows. But the only way he makes it is if he wakes himself up early and does a bunch of blow to get here. And then I thought, SlimFast has a really a debilitating drug problem. And I thought, as the guy who does Smirnoff shots at 11 o'clock in the morning, I should not be the one with the least amount of drug and alcohol problems.
Yeah.
Like, I should be the guy that their coworkers are going to be like, ooh, boy.
Don't worry,
he might need help. But I'm not, because I'm like, the guys I work with, they're real bad.
That's why we do it.
Or to make me, well,
yeah, we need you
I don't
to look
feel
good.
Better about myself because of it. I know I have a problem.
But others
and I don't walk
feel
in
better
here
about
and go
you.
Like,
they don't focus on you that way. They keep their attention on us. They're very worried about why Snow Cone keeps going into that empty office in the back. They're very worried about why I keep asking.
Why does he live there?
Right. Why I keep asking. He's got a cot back there.
We don't pay him much, but
he actually lives there.
It's more than a teacher.
Right.
And they seem to have homes.
Right.
Why does our dude live here? And it's like, well, why does he eat so many powdered donuts in the morning?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. They got those boyfriends, husbands, whatever. Yeah, that's why we do it, though. You know, that and a lot of really untreated psychiatric issues and therapy left undone, types of things. Yeah. But yeah, that's why we do it. I think it keeps the attention off Lazo. People are aware of it. They go, oh, wow. And they check their watch when they see him grabbing a shot. But they're more concerned with us. So we do it for you, boss. The news, there's plenty to talk about. Yesterday when we were on the air, that helicopter went down. We didn't know anything about it. We know a little bit about it now. Did you see the video of it? It's pretty scary stuff. I might not, you know, I kind of liked helicopters. I'm thinking maybe I'm not going to get on one of those again. And the U-Haul kidnapping, I mean, this is worth, you can watch us at twitch.tv/Church of Laszlo. I'll try and pull up this video for you. But if you haven't seen this news about the couple getting kidnapped in the U-Haul, this was absolutely crazy. We'll talk about it in a minute.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
So the news, the big story this morning was a story that happened, I think, I don't know what time it was yesterday. We were definitely on the air, Snow Cone. You saw something live in the moment and said, hey, a helicopter just crashed. Because we made the comment like, there's a lot of problems going on. Was it Twitch?
Where it was Crackman, yeah.
And then you start to see more information about it and see the video of this thing. I mean, it just, if you haven't seen the video, this happened in New York, and it actually went down. They are claiming it went down like right where Sully's plane went down in the Hudson, like the exact same spot. What they said on one of the stations this morning, the same exact spot where Sully's plane went down however many years ago.
I'm sure.
Same name, you know what I mean? Like same river, okay.
Same
I'll
river.
Go with that, but same exact spot. Like right. I don't know. So anyhow, if you see the video of this thing, it falls apart. They said that the rotors come off the plane. This is what they think happened. And when the rotors come off the plane, that'd be bad
the
enough.
The Hudson Triangle.
The Hudson Triangle, exactly. Bad enough when the Hudsons come off
the Hudsons.
The blades come off the chopper there. But I like they have the expert on. He's like, I think what happened was once the blades on the chopper detach, I think they hit the tail. And when they hit the tail, then they were doomed. Then I was thinking, when the blades detach, were they not doomed? Because it seems like they would have already been doomed. But
the entire family members, we're lifting them up in prayer.
We were met by the first responders and they told us they did everything they can to try to save these victims. And you can see the trauma on their face.
So I just happened to be walking and I heard like, it sounded like an engine just dying. And it was like, do, 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 do. And I just turned, I looked and I saw the helicopter crash and splash into the water.
And so when it landed, it flips and goes upside down. So, you know, then you're wondering how many of these, there's six victims, there's a whole family that was killed, and you wonder how many of these victims were alive, or any of them alive, because that would be horrible. You kind of hope that they died on impact and didn't drown. And then you find out more information about the victims, and it is a family visiting from Spain. This guy's like a big exec at Siemens, the, you know, that big, I don't know what all they do, but yeah, funny name.
You know, I was going to laugh, buddy, too, but then I thought, not now.
Not now.
Not now. Don't
okay,
die.
All right.
Like, as soon as he said Siemens, I'm like, oh, we could all make a joke, but
kids
died. His family died.
Kids
died. Let it roll.
Yeah. Sorry.
Not only did they die, but they were here doing a sightseeing trip for their child's birthday, one of their kids' birthdays. So it was like
Christ,
a birthday.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and you're over here laughing
Jesus
about
come on.
The funny
I'm
name
sorry,
of
not,
this global corporation. So anyhow, yeah, they were visiting.
Is it Siemens or Seagram's?
Siemens.
What does
yeah.
Siemens mean?
No, I don't, my buddy worked there for a while. But
at Siemens?
Yeah, and I asked him, what do you do?
So does your mom.
Yeah.
there
it is. You know,
I gave
give him
time.
Enough time.
I gave it time.
Yeah, okay,
tragedy
fine,
plus time equals satire. Everybody knows that.
A crane lifted the crumpled wreckage of the helicopter out of the Hudson River as more details emerge about the crash. The helicopter was taking a family of five on a sightseeing tour when it appeared to fall apart. Agustin Escobar, a top executive with the Spanish branch of the tech company Siemens, and his wife were killed, along with their three children, ages 4, 5, and 11.
Horrible. I don't know what Siemens says either, but I do remember when I asking my buddy, I was like, what do they do? And he's like, well, they do a ton of stuff. But he, at the time, was saying that they, one of the things that they were involved in was designing a jumbotron for one of the stadiums, or maybe they
oh,
made
really?
The lights for the jumbotron or something. Electronic stuff was certainly part of it, because that's what he does. And so that's all I know. I'm sure you could look them up and see. I don't know what the where their base is.
Industrial
I guess I thought
automation,
it was
distributed energy resources, rail transport, and health technology.
So they do it all.
Siemens is the largest industrial manufacturing company in Europe. There you go.
In Europe. So they probably are headquartered in Germany's a good guess.
Well, I thought your friend might be the German because he does aircraft.
Munich.
Stuff,
there
right?
you go. Germany. There you go.
Boom.
Nice work there. Yeah. And so this family, he was an exec. They made it sound like he was the top exec at the company in Spain. I don't know if that's true or not, but he was an exec. And they were here taking this sightseeing
by
trip.
Werner von Siemen.
There you go. Ziemann.
Werner?
It's probably not funny Siemen. To them. Huh? Still making snow cone laugh, but you know it is probably pronounced differently. So
yeah.
They don't. Also, they don't probably say semen.
Do you speak German?
Well, not really. I mean,
yeah,
a few words here and there. But you know, like I don't know how you say. Oh yeah, actually I do. I do know how you say that.
Go ahead. What is it?
Moving on.
No, we got to do it now.
No, because I don't think you're allowed to. I don't even know if you. I think cussing in a foreign language.
Just say it. I want to hear it.
I could say. I'll say this. I'll say.
Just say.
Okay. Fick mich so weit, aber spritz nicht so weit. You guys want to know what that means? Me with two guys, but don't too much.
How many times you said
yeah,
that?
Yeah, right. You knew that
you
right
knew
off
that
the bat.
Right
Jesus
away.
Christ. Yeah.
Well, you learn funny stuff when you have friends in high school who
yeah.
are German, right? So
you learn funny stuff when
yeah.
you're in Germany asking dudes to do that.
Yeah. It actually doesn't mean two dudes. I just said two dudes because the girl who sang it originally, I assumed, was talking about dudes. But I think it just means I'll have a threesome, you know, two other people, but let's not have too much.
Hey, look, we get it.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it would probably have to be dudes because she's saying don't.
Yeah, right.
Don't do that too much.
So, yeah, that's not what she's saying.
Don't
that's
do that
saying.
Too much. Yeah. So she's talking about guys. Moving on. China. Time to put our series hats on here. China. Remember
yeah,
we got
that helicopter crash that killed kids was just.
Well, you guys kept talking about semen. I'm trying to bring it back down. No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
That's the name of the company. You made a joke. Lazo said don't make a joke. Then
yeah,
Lazo
then
made a joke. And then I said, I won't do it. And you guys said, do it. Tell
then,
us how you said it.
Then all of a sudden you're like.
No, I didn't do the gesture. You just did the gesture for the
well,
first
because
time.
Because I didn't want to say it again, so I didn't want him to have to bleep it. So,
right.
Like, people know what this means. Like, hey, fellas, will you.
Right.
Okay,
but
reset.
Not too much.
Reset.
That's what I'm saying. Let's reset.
Okay. Here we go. We got this.
We got these 90-day pauses, you know, on all these countries, all these tariffs, right? Except China. Because, you know, the beef with China is real. The trade war with China is real. So China had threatened that they were going to maybe go after some more targets, specifically go after some more industries, which they had already done some of, I think some farming and stuff like that. And the big one that they were worried about was Hollywood, right? They're going to go after Hollywood. Well, they are doing it. They've said, we're doing it. We're going to restrict the number of Hollywood movies that can be shown now in China, but they're not saying which ones.
Beijing's going beyond cash, now targeting culture and going after one of America's most premier exports, Hollywood. The China Film Administration, the government body that regulates movie releases, announcing it's reducing U.S. film imports, though it's unclear what the drop will be from the 34 movies the country typically allows.
China can't afford not to match what he's doing, can't be seen to be weak.
Trump brushing off the move.
I think I've heard of worse things.
I knew it. He's like, oh, it's going to, you heard that when it was coming. I'm like, why is China threatening Hollywood? Trump's going to be like, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to, I hope California falls off in the sea. Like,
yeah, not a fan.
They're like, oh, what are you talking about? The liberal, it's our premier elite export. Hollywood guys, George Clooney's not going to make as much money. I don't think Trump's going to be like, damn, we got to save Clooney. Like, yeah. I mean, if there's any place where China could hurt us, apparently there's a lot of them, I don't know, but the one that's going to make Trump buckle isn't Hollywood.
Well, if you're nervous about this because you work in Hollywood and you're listening to us live, maybe even in Atlanta, I don't know where you're listening right now, you probably already know this, actually, that apparently since COVID especially, the box office in China for American movies has been like really low. It was huge for a long time, but I don't know if they've been mad at us or if it was just not recovering from COVID or a combination of both. And
maybe some they don't like the movies?
Yeah, maybe they just don't like the movies.
Is it comparable to here?
The drop-off is much bigger. Yeah, they did the graph. Like, yes, there has been a drop-off here, too, since COVID, but it's much bigger. And they're specifically American movies that were getting these really, you know, kind of small turnouts when other movies there could be successful. And that could just mean that China's movie market has gotten a lot better, too, right? It could be a combination of those things. So I just listened to this whole thing. It was a Wall Street Journal thing about how this trade war started and, like, how we got to where we are, specifically with China. And it was really, really fascinating. I
bet.
No, seriously.
Please tell me in detail. Just, you know what?
No, I'm not going to tell you in detail.
Let's take a break. You come outside.
I'm not going to tell you in detail.
I'd love for you to just tell me.
I'm not going to tell you in detail.
Fascinating. Riveting. The story will be riveting.
There's no story. I'm not going to tell you what they said.
I want you to.
Okay, well, I'll tell you off the air.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but all
please.
I was going to say is the
over coffee.
The whole thing is dudes.
I'll bring two dudes. They could you.
Well, that's basically what this is. It's a measuring contest. That's what it is. It's a measuring contest. And honestly, I listen to it and I'm like, well, you know, let's go America.
Okay.
Like, yeah, they shouldn't have done that. You know what? I didn't know they did that. F them. Go ahead. Tariff the album. Because the tariff's now 125% on United States goods. I don't know. You and I don't export anything. I don't think this show's allowed in other countries. They don't.
Sure
you
it
can.
Is.
No, I don't think they can pick it up.
My buddy, I don't know how he gets it, but the guy I went to union
with.
Yeah,
there are ways.
He lives in Spain.
My German buddies find
ways.
Because
they'll still text me every once in a while and be like, oh, you guys are talking about this.
I know they couldn't stream it. They were unable to stream it. Some of the podcasts, but there are ways. You're right, because my German buddies listen. They say they listen, but that we talk too fast. Their English isn't good enough. So we should do shows for Europeans, for anyone. English is a second language, and we'll slow it down a little bit.
Independence. I gotcha.
They didn't hear it.
Little method. My little methods.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo.
Puddle of Mud, Psycho, Ronnie 89 The Rock. You're going to do more news now, or you got
in a minute.
Dudes coming over?
Going to do it in a minute.
Slim, have you shown him?
Oh, no, I haven't shown him.
I've been meaning to bring that up.
I keep forgetting.
I know.
You know, remember how, and I mean, Twitch knows, I think they took screenshots several times. You know, I bend over to get something out of my bag, and my ass crack would show, and it was becoming a huge problem. I cinched my belt as tight as I could. Nothing. I looked at tips online. Literally one of the first things. Yeah, like why can't I keep my pants around my waist?
Any sense.
And one of the first, literally, actually, the first thing he said, why having trouble keeping your pants up even with the belt on could be a sign of serious health issues. I'm like, okay,
oh, no.
I just need it's the internet. Like I just need, and so it doesn't matter why. I did finally find some sort of explanation, but I switched to suspenders. I've been wearing them all week. You haven't even noticed. That's why I wanted to wait, because I knew that you would have this reaction, but you haven't noticed that I've been wearing them all week. So it doesn't matter. You don't
really
see that I'm wearing them.
Suspenders on.
Yeah, but you can't see them.
Why?
Because my pants keep falling down, and I'm sick of it. Every time I bend over to pick something up, my ass comes out. So I'm over it. It doesn't matter which pants I have on, which belt I use.
So let me just make sure, and it's fine. Whatever.
He tried to casually slip it by me like I wouldn't notice it.
No, I didn't. I told you about it.
Yeah,
I said, check this out. I said it was life-changing. I said there's life before suspenders and life after. That wasn't casual.
You're wearing literal suspenders. He's wearing suspenders.
Yeah. Someone said, try suspenders.
Who? Who said that?
Like online. It said, just switch to suspenders. And I was like, well, I can't wear like. First thing I thought was like, I'm like, what? Overalls? Put actual like dress suspenders on over my shirt? I can't do that. And then people said they just, you know, you just wear them under your shirt. You know, wear an undershirt and wear them.
Why? What's the reason why? Why don't you just get your shirts a little longer, you idiot?
What do you. Well, I mean, how much longer? I don't know.
Enough that it covers your ass if you bend over?
I guess.
A grown-up thing to do.
Maybe, but the problem is that if you're outside...
You keep watching all
the final straw for me was being outside trying to do stuff, and every time I was in the yard doing something, and if it's windy out, you know, your shirt's blowing around, whatever, I was just tired of feeling the breeze on my ass crack. I was tired of my pants falling down. You still got to pull them back up, too, when you get up, and because now they've sunk from bending over. So I said I'd give it. The 7-day try.
Don't do
the 7-day try.
Do
they said try it for 7 days. If you don't love the way
Stop
you feel,
like it, your fiance is hot. Like hot.
She knows
like
about
she,
the.
She could like suspenders. You know bang anyone she wants. Probably. I mean, she's getting a little older, so like the pool is smaller, getting smaller, but it's still pretty wide.
Yeah.
And you just wake up in the morning and she's getting ready to go to work. She's putting on a skirt and heels mm-hmm. and. Nylons, and you're like, put these suspenders on underneath my T-shirt.
She doesn't see it. I mean, I told her about it in case she, you know,
oh, I'm sure
found
you
out.
Her.
But she doesn't see it otherwise, because I
when you come home at night, she doesn't see you take them off?
No, she's asleep by the time I take them off.
Let me take these suspenders.
What'd she say when you told her?
I don't remember. I think she was just like,
you attach them straight to your underwear or your socks?
Yeah, to my socks, exactly. They go under my jeans and then all the way around, and there's Velcro in there. It's a very complicated system, and So I've had them since let's see, a week ago today.
Hey, well, I want you to take that shirt off. I'd like to get a picture.
No, I'm not doing that.
Why?
I told you about it.
Well, lift up the shirt. Let me get a little picture. Hold on, I gotta find a camera here.
And what's gonna be
Take
said?
Take your shirt off.
No, I'm not taking. I'm not, because that's the whole reason I wear a shirt. I will show you that I'm wearing the suspenders.
Come on, take your shirt
no,
off.
No, because you're gonna make it seem like I walk around like
Lift
that, and I don't. You're gonna make it seem like I walk around like this. I don't. I keep them covered up.
Looks like something. Woody Harrelson on Natural Born Killers.
Yeah, it does kind of. You know, it's like you got a gun hidden somewhere or something. You know. Right?
Yeah, you feel.
Yeah, they're kind of not that cool. Like it kind of screams like wow, two dudes come over and face.
That's, yeah, that's what you keep screaming. I don't know. You've said it a lot today. The Church
of Laszlo. Yo!
Yo!
What's going on?
We're finishing the news.
Okay.
The rest of the news. So, a 9-year-old is at school.
Yeah.
Maryland reaches into the backpack there to get out papers. You know, a teacher says, hey, everybody get your homework out.
Yeah.
Kid reaches into the bag and reaches for the paper, but accidentally fires off the gun that's in the backpack. Now, luckily, the gun was pointing at the floor and the bullet hit the ground and nobody was hurt. But the really crazy thing about this story is the deja vu. Pay attention
County
to the
County Sheriff's
end.
Office says a student had a loaded handgun in their book bag. The 9-year-old was reaching into the bag when the gun went off. In an email to parents, the school district says that the child brought the gun from home and said that they had no intentions of harming anyone. The sheriff's office says it's investigating whether the gun came from a visiting relative. And all of this comes just 3 days after a gun went off in a third grader's backpack. That one in Spotsylvania
wow.
County, Virginia.
Hey, so two elementary school kids have guns go off in their backpack within a couple of days of one another, same week, and not that far away from each
right,
other.
Yeah.
So kind of crazy. What's the 9-year-old thinking when they put the gun in the backpack? Is it to show
Maybe
kids
he just
at school?
It?
Yeah, is it like to show kids at school? Like, look at this. This is cool. Or
yeah,
to
I mean,
pretend
nine's
like
pretty young.
Pretend like they're being little
what
badasses.
What grade is 9?
I would think like third grade,
yeah,
which is what the second story was. They called the other kid a third grader specifically. And I thought, well, isn't that about what 9 is? I think you're about 9 years old, third, fourth grade, something like that. Right. But not old enough, I would hope.
Could think you're going to use it.
Right. But also old
well,
enough.
Maybe.
Right.
Depending, and, like, you know, this kid keeps picking on me, I'll show him.
Yeah. And but I would hope that you are old enough to understand how dangerous guns are.
Yeah, but you may not understand at that age the finality of it.
Right, no.
Like, these kids keep picking on me, I'll show them. So you understand what you're saying, but you may not. Like, you're not grasping the full concept of what
sure.
this means.
If that's your intention, if that is why you bring the gun, mm-hmm. yeah, I agree with you. I guess I'm referring to the kid who maybe brings the gun to school because they're like, I'll show some friends at school. Right. It's like, you know you're going to get in a lot of trouble for that, right?
Nine.
You're going to get in a
maybe
lot
not.
Of trouble. I would just think in this country with all the gun news, but they're kids, so
yeah,
I don't
nine,
know.
Nine, ma'am.
And I do recall that throughout my entire grade school tenure, there was no accidental firearm discharges. Not that I recall, at least. And I don't remember any in the district. I don't really remember any anywhere. But maybe there were. Maybe there were kids who brought guns to school in elementary school and showed someone.
No.
But I certainly don't remember. I remember kids talking tough, that whole thing. Kids pretending like they were...
Knives.
Yes, knives.
Pocket knives.
Knives did get brought
so
to school. Like, look at this. And they'd show you under the desk or in the bathroom or whatever. But yeah, I don't recall guns. I don't know. Maybe there's something going on there.
Don't know.
These people that it seems like they almost died. They were kidnapped in the back of a U-Haul. This is absolutely crazy. This happened in New Mexico. A couple is helping this guy, he's 50 years old, get some stuff out of his U-Haul. I don't know if they're getting stuff out or putting stuff in the U-Haul. U-Haul looked pretty full to me when they finally opened this thing up. But the story just says that they were helping him clean up. So what? Clean up what? Clean up the house or clean up the U-Haul? Either way, they're helping this guy. And they're obviously helping him by moving stuff around, either in or out of the U-Haul. At one point, the couple, both of them are inside the back of this U-Haul. Now, it's just one of those panel trucks, like you see, the most common U-Haul. Not the van, not the pickup truck, but just a regular U-Haul. So they're in the back of this thing, and this guy that they're helping reaches up and slams the door on the U-Haul and locks them into the back of this U-Haul. Why he did this, they still don't know. I mean, if they do, they haven't said. But he locks them into the back of this U-Haul. Now, this is in a residential area. He jumps into the driver's seat and starts driving. The couple, one or both of them, start banging on the inside of the, banging
right,
on the panels of the U-Haul. And they're in there. And it's loud enough that neighbors can hear it, and loud enough that video, like Ring doorbell security camera videos from some of these homes, picked up not only the video of this, but the sound of them banging on the door. So the cops are alerted, thank God. They're made aware. Hey, we think there might be somebody in the back of this U-Haul. Cops find the U-Haul. Guy gives chase. Doesn't want to pull over. They have to put out the stop sticks, blow out all the tires. The whole deal, the whole time,
of course. Does he know there's people in there?
Oh, yeah. He's the one who locked him in there. He slammed the door on them. It seems pretty clear.
A harrowing high-speed police pursuit, tearing through the streets of Santa Fe. Neighbors noticing the screaming, pleading, banging coming from the back of this U-Haul box truck. Police say a man and woman were helping the driver, 50-year-old Stacy Walker, clean out the rental vehicle when he suddenly slammed the rear door, trapping them inside.
Regardless of how they got there, they were placed in a very dangerous situation.
Yeah, so this chase went on for a while. If you watch the video, it's pretty scary. If this thing had flipped over or something, which it easily could have done, and he kept driving. They blew out all four of the tires, and he kept driving, but eventually it looked like he sort of lost control and ended up, I don't know, in some gravel or whatever it was, kind of off the side of the road. And the cops were able to box him in and get this couple out of the back of this U-Haul, and they're okay. The whole thing, like I say, is on video, and you'll probably come across it.
I saw a little bit of the story. I just thought he didn't know the people were in there. You know those guys who, like, steal a car, and they get, like, 15 miles away, like, God damn, there's a baby in here.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's what I thought. Like, he was just stealing the U-Haul and didn't realize there was people back there.
I mean, they said that they were helping him. Maybe he was trying to steal the U-Haul. Who rented the U-Haul? Was it
right.
this couple or was it him? Because they said that they were helping him clean out some rental. Okay, well, I assume the rental is the house, like the rental home. That's what I thought they meant by rental. And so they're putting stuff in the U-Haul. And when they opened the U-Haul gate at the end, and you see on the dash cam, the couple in there, it was full of stuff. So it looked like it was ready to go. It's possible that he could have closed that without knowing that they're in there. But then I would think, once you hear the banging, because you heard that's really loud,
right?
You would stop. Also, when the cops go to pull you over, why would you run? So that's
unless
when
you
I,
thought you were stealing, but they said they were helping him.
Right.
I guess that's the part I missed, right? Like, he was helping them. If he thought he was stealing the whole house full of stuff.
Yeah.
Right? And the U-Haul, he's like, he was stealing all the stuff.
It's possible. And look, it's me, so maybe I interpreted that backwards. Maybe he is the one who's helping them. I thought they made it sound like they were saying they were the ones helping him. But anyhow, he ran from the cops and tried to get away for quite a while, and luckily, finally just lost enough control without flipping over that they were able to block him in and get him out of there. Good news. Bipartisan support. You know, in politics now, they say we're so divisive, everything's so polarized. Well, there's something we can agree on. Daylight savings needs to end. Or it needs to stay. We don't know which, but they want to stop the clock changes.
I'm disappointed in your excellent remarks that we did not get you belting out the chorus of Cher's If We Could Turn Back Time.
That's Ted Cruz. Senator Ted Cruz making a reference there to Cher as they discuss whether or not we should get rid of these clock changes. Now, the good news is they all agree that we should get rid of the clock changes.
I told you, it is something that peps us up. And we need the energy.
The American people are sick and tired of changing their clocks twice a year.
The issue for lawmakers, which do you stay on? Standard time would mean darker mornings in the winter. Atlanta wouldn't see the sunrise until almost 9 a.m. in January. Staying on daylight saving time would mean sunlight later, which doctors say can disrupt sleep, leading to health issues.
Heart attacks go up, strokes, car crashes, even miscarriages.
I didn't even know that this was part of the debate. When they kept saying that they were pushing to end the clock changes, I thought we all agreed we're going to keep daylight saving time. We're going to keep daylight. But now they're debating about which one to keep, and it's like split.
No.
These guys were actually testifying that if it's dark in the morning, we're going to see accidents go up. We know what happens. These commutes in the dark, more people get injured, more people die, and heart attacks go up because we don't go to bed at night because we stay up too late. Snowcone, I am very worried that what they're leaning towards now is getting rid of daylight savings.
I swear to God.
They're
going to
get rid of it. They're just going to get rid of it. They're going to come up with something to keep the clocks from changing. Trump has said that he thinks the clock changes are confusing, but he hasn't taken sides. So I'm upset too, Snowcone. I get it. I thought we all agreed daylight savings year round.
Yes.
That was what we were told originally.
Whatever gets us more sunlight later in the day.
Of course. Just keep it light longer. It's stupid. Why would I need it to be dark at 4 o'clock? It's depressing enough in the winter, you know? Just keep it lighter longer. Keep it year round. No, because it's dark in Atlanta for a while in the morning.
My God.
We'll all have
Deal
heart attacks.
With it, Atlanta.
No kidding.
You guys, man.
I assume you guys, you're talking about those guys that are pro getting rid of daylight savings. And I'm with you, Laszlo. I'm with you.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo. Okay, remember your running with the police.
When?
When you got arrested in front of your house.
Oh, yeah.
For crimes against humanity.
Yeah.
And they what is that called, the way they shackled you there?
I don't know.
What do they call that?
Don't they do your ankles, too?
They literally did the foot.
What's
that called?
Even, by the way, I was innocent, but even I'm like, dude, what you're coming to get me for is an expired tag, man.
Exactly.
And not
you
paying that.
Shackled
you're
my
shackling
ankles.
Me?
In
like,
my driveway.
What are we doing here?
In my driveway. In front of my
you
family.
You came to my house.
Right. It's like, are you friends with my ex-wife?
Right.
Why is it happening like this? That's what you'd have to suspect. Like, who are you friends with? Because I've seen that in movies and television shows where, you know, the cops are talking
like,
let's go get him in public. We'll go get him while like that Outsider show on HBO. We'll go get him while he's coaching the baseball game in front of his whole family. And we'll tell everyone that he's accused of murdering a little boy. You know, I mean, that's kind of what they did.
Don't shackle me.
Yeah. But yours was for an expired tag.
Which wasn't expired.
Right. Well, and
that story gets longer, but I wasn't expired.
Right. It was just a miscommunication.
It was a clerical error on their part.
Yeah.
They had basically written down the wrong VIN.
Yeah. Could you imagine when they
But when I paid it, the people that I paid it to, they never asked the VIN or anything, so it was all over. I just paid it online.
When they see.
And then they're like, you didn't pay your ticket. I'm like, yes, I did. Here's the receipt. And they're like, no, sorry.
My
guy was like,
line
I said,
is-
here's the receipt. I said, here's the receipt. I sent it. This is it. He's like, I need to see a confirmation from them back. I'm like, do they send those? He's like, I don't know. Like,
just making stuff up. Yeah, that's not good enough because you sent it.
They didn't email back and say, we received it. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's a receipt. It says I paid it. Like, it says paid. I'm guessing there's not somebody in your office who just fires back an email every time.
Yeah.
Literally says paid.
And this was before ChatGPT was, you know, cooking up fake receipts for people, too. So, you know, it's like, where do you think I got this thing? You think I sat at home and drew this on Canva? Anyhow, you felt like you missed out on an opportunity there
to
sue. And now I feel like I've missed out on an opportunity. I've never thought this about this particular incident.
By the way, people know I love Bosch in like the TV show. In like the seventh season, there's a guy who gets arrested in L.A., right? And he didn't do it, but he gets shackled in front of his kids and family. And the lawyer's like, you know how long that will last with his child? How he'll have to explain? I'm like, and this lady is suing L.A. for like millions of dollars. And I'm like, I'm so dumb.
Yeah.
I just took a little apology.
That's what that Jason Bateman thing on HBO where he was playing the Little League coach and they arrested him. It was the same thing. His lawyer's like, you just arrested him and you hadn't even talked to him yet? The whole thing. It's like, yeah, that's what they did with Laszlo.
My favorite quote from that cop was when he came, dropped me off back at home. Well, I mean, after going through all
that's
this,
my favorite
I can
line.
Certainly see it's not your fault, but it sure as hell is your problem.
Yep.
I'm like, what? Why?
That's like, you know, something out of a movie when a prisoner's trying to get help. And like, I'm being mistreated. You know I'm innocent. The guilty guy just confessed.
My guy T. Bragg on the Twitch, I needed Honey from Bosch to be my Honey Chandler, Money Chandler, to be my lawyer.
Yeah, I
needed her.
I don't watch Bosch yet, but that reference will make sense to me.
By the way, we mentioned that before, and it's still on. It's the last season. I watched another episode the other day, and man, she's on it. It's Mimi Rogers. And every time I look at her, I'm like, man, you look so much older than Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Like, you guys were boyfriend. Like, I had to go back and look at, like, Mimi Rogers, Tom Cruise.
Were they married?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. But there's
maybe
pictures of them together. And now
she's
you're
the
like,
one that got him into Scientology originally, right?
I don't know.
I thought so.
I don't know anything about her. I'm just talking about her looks. I'm not trying to get.
Yeah, she does look older.
Yeah, I'm just trying to be a misogynist. I'm not trying to bust people's religion here.
Yeah. I was just, you know, interesting fact. I'm not busting a religion. Okay. Who's talking about busting anybody's religion? I'm talking about busting people for doing wrong to us and missing out on our opportunity.
We have a chance to
them accountable. I think my statute of limitations is up. I also think the person who I would have been suing is probably dead. But I'm going to tell you a story here in just a second that'll sound awfully familiar.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo. Boy, oh boy. You know, we've argued about this over the years, Laszlo. I didn't think it was an issue at all. And I thought you were making something out of nothing just to make fun of me. And then I saw the story. In Florida, a principal in Florida has been arrested after something she did with a 13-year-old. What do you think the principal in Florida got arrested for doing with the 13-year-old? Any guesses? Is this she?
Yeah, I mean,
I got an idea.
Well, I said this, you know, will sound familiar, and I missed my opportunity.
Having him rub her feet in nylons like you did?
Well, it doesn't say about nylons, but it just says Florida.
Gross.
Florida principal
gross.
Arrested.
Why would you? Oh,
after
gross.
Making 13-year-old
student a lot of trouble. She's making a guy rub her feet without nylons on.
Presumably.
That's gross.
It says 13-year-old student rub her feet, quote, like he loved her.
Yeah.
According to the police. So this principal in Florida Middle School is on administrative leave. My teacher never got in trouble for any of this. Administrative leave after she allegedly had a student rub her feet while making inappropriate comments towards
him. Like what?
She's a doctor, by the way.
Well, yeah.
53 years old. She's the assistant principal at Lake Marion Creek Middle School. She was charged with lewd conduct and lewd offense against a student by an authority figure after the principal of the school reported the incident to the sheriff's office on April 4th. The victim, a 13-year-old male student, was allegedly sent to her office.
That word around.
Which one?
Victim.
The student was allegedly sent to Lark's office after throwing a balled up piece of paper. This is why I need my computer to work, Snowcone. Throwing something across the room, I presume, once I get past this. Yes, okay. He's throwing a balled up piece of paper across the classroom during a test. While in her office, Lark told him to rub her feet since he didn't have anything better to do with his hands. Now, I don't remember how my teacher brought it up. I don't think that she said, since you don't have anything better to do with your hands, rub my feet. I think she just said, who wants to rub my feet? And then we raised our hands and she, you know, chose one of us because we wanted to teach her to like
us. She said, I'm teaching you foreplay.
I was getting to that.
Well, you're goddamn wasting time, man. Words.
I'm telling
get
you.
Get to that. She's rubbing his feet. She gets thrown out of class. He goes to the print. Like, I could do this in like a lot quicker. The guy gets thrown out of class, right? He's 13. He goes to the principal's office. She's like, look, you're not doing anything. Why don't you rub my feet?
I would have already
so
been
he starts
there.
Rubbing my feet and then he's like, And then she starts rubbing his arm.
Yeah.
And then she says, I'm teaching you foreplay.
Yeah. Yeah. And to rub her feet like he loved her. And I don't know exactly, you know, what that means, but you get the idea. Even as a 13-year-old, she wanted to be a little more passionate. She said, do it like he loved her so that he would know what foreplay is for when he gets a girlfriend. You know, now you're going to know what it's like. You need to understand what foreplay is for. One day you'll have a girlfriend. You know, I'm just imagining, sounds like this is what happened. This conversation was similar to this, at least. And she's saying, you know,
she also said,
try a little harder.
That every time he wouldn't do it right, she would start to massage his biceps. And then
to show him how to massage
her
feet.
Heard her say she was fulfilling one of his fantasies because boys fantasize about their teachers.
Well, mine doesn't say that he said that. I don't have that part. But it does say that when she would rub his arm to show him that you know how it's supposed to be done. So he's rubbing her feet wrong, and she's like, no, you do it like this. And she's, you know, massaging his arm, I guess his bicep, and saying, rub my feet like this. And then saying, this will be good for you, so you can, it's a good way to learn foreplay for when you have a girlfriend someday. Now, he's 13 years old. My teacher didn't say anything about foreplay. And my teacher didn't say, like, you're doing it wrong, let me show you how to do it. But still, my teacher had me rub her feet. Also, I wasn't 13. I don't know if this makes a difference. I was five or six. I was six. And my teacher was 100, I would say close to it. She's probably in her late 90s. I don't know. She's probably 80 years old. It's not like, you know, when you're a kid, people seem old. She was definitely old. She was like the old granny when the wool skirts and everything. That was her with the gray hair and the whole deal. So I don't know if that makes a difference, but that was my situation. So I feel like if this woman got arrested for this, I could have got my teacher in trouble at least.
I would think so. Sure.
I mean, it was 1988.
Like, by the way, we've all known this. Like, you've told that story for 20 years.
And I'm saying you were right.
But I'm saying everybody who's listening to this has known that was inappropriate, except you.
I know, and I'm saying I now know because this woman got arrested. That seems
she
like evidence.
She looks so sad in her picture.
Well, yeah, she just got arrested.
I know, but I feel bad for her, kind of.
You feel bad for her?
Like, just because of how sad she looks. Like, well, you post it somewhere, but I mean, she looks really sad. Like,
it's
a lot of times
shot.
You'll see them like they're crying or whatever, but she just looks sad.
Defeated. Totally defeated.
Yeah, like, oh, boy. Like the way her head's tilted.
Well, she got a PhD at some point, you know, and who knows what, probably some sort of child psychology or something. You had those principals at school that were doctors, so she's worked hard for this job, I would assume. She's in her 50s. She's probably been doing it a long time. And now the whole thing's, boom, up in smoke, all over a little foot massage. And think about how many times she's probably had students rub her feet in that office and nothing ever happened. You know, for some reason, this one went wrong. Where it went wrong, I don't know. Maybe it was when she started rubbing his arm back to, you know, show him.
Remember when she said this is foreplay.
Maybe it was when she said this would be good.
It
lesson
sounded
for
like they were kind of like
day.
When she's like, hey, he needed to be humbled. Nothing worked before this. It sounded like the cops were like, interesting. We don't know if we should arrest her for that. Right. And then when it was like, and then the other student saw, it was like, and then she rubbed his arm, said, rub him like you love me. And then it was like, I'm teaching foreplay. And the cops were like, okay.
That's the thing. I don't know that if he'd just gone in there and rubbed her feet because she's like, all right, you know what? You've been getting in trouble. I think she could get in trouble for that. But I don't know if she gets arrested for that.
Yeah, I don't even think she loses her job, to be honest with you.
If she just had him rub the feet?
Maybe.
She could lose it, but not arrested with the mugshot, right?
No.
I don't think.
Until you start saying, here's four
points. Although they're really sensitive.
And it's a fantasy that you have.
Yeah, I didn't see that part. But the foreplay thing, I think. That's got to be the most shocking part is her rubbing him back and saying, this is how you do it. This is a good lesson in foreplay for you and you have a girlfriend one day.
I know you fantasize about me is pretty direct.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. I'm just saying, if it was just a foot massage, I mean, look, I saw a coworker get a foot massage from a guy at a bar once. They didn't shut the bar down or anything. They said, hey, this is inappropriate. What are you doing? People gave a weird look like, oh, she's getting her feet rubbed over there. Well, did she know that guy? And I was like, I think they just met. But I don't know. I work with her, but I don't know her that well. But, you know, so a foot massage can be a casual thing. Now, when you involve a student at a school, I don't know. I don't know how much trouble you get in for that.
Well,
it's
she's fired for sure.
It's not. Well, she is for sure.
Oh, no, I'm saying I think, yeah, if you bring someone in, you're like, rub my feet. I think you're getting fired.
You think you lose your job for sure over the foot massage?
I don't think in the 90s you did.
No, clearly.
I think in the 90s.
I don't think my teacher was hiding it.
Pull on his pants and spank him.
I don't think my teacher was hiding it. I think that people probably walked by and everything, and she wasn't like, get away from my feet.
Right.
The kids were just sitting there rubbing her feet. I don't think she was worried about it. Also, you might make the argument that it's worse for a 13-year-old. I don't know. We were only six, so maybe she thought they're not old enough. Yeah, but maybe they're thinking like they're not old enough.
I don't want to have a boner.
You know what I mean? They think that we're more innocent. 13,
well, 13, she knew. The word foreplay,
she knew. She's telling them this will be good.
Right.
Good lesson for your future, you and your future girlfriend.
I wish she was just a little hotter.
A little.
A little hotter.
A little.
I mean.
She could be a little hotter.
The story's pretty good, but
running feet is already a delicate subject matter, right? Because that can go a lot of ways. You need to be pretty hot for me to not be a little concerned when I hear that. So, yeah, she's, you know.
I need to see her outside of that because that's not a good look for her. It looks like she might be attractive.
She's in her 50s. She's got,
I mean,
she's got 50-some-year-old feet. That's just, it is what it is, you know?
Yeah.
We know what feet look. I mean, I'm sure the Nicole Kidman's feet probably look, you know, like she's walked in a lot of high heels over the years, you know?
She's
in her 50s. You don't think?
I think Nicole Kidman probably had, you know, people taking care of her.
Well, sure, but there's only so much you can do, you know? She's really probably focused on her face, you know, keep making sure you tighten that up. Mm-hmm. But what do you tell a doctor to go down there and fix your feet? I don't know, Lazlo.
Yeah.
Maybe. It's possible. I don't. This woman obviously wasn't doing that.
I'm going to look up Nicole Kidman. I was looking up for this lady's regular picture, and I'm going to look up Nicole Kidman's feet.
I'm sure you can find him.
And he's gone.
The Church of Lazlo.
Yo.
Yo. All right, so the Bahamas. Now, you've been to the Bahamas, Lazlo. I know you've been to the Bahamas. You may not go to the Dominican and I don't know what other places we talked about. Was Costa Rica one of the other places that somebody died of food poisoning? I think Costa Rica. Oh. I don't want to give Costa Rica a bad name, but
yeah.
There was a food poisoning. The baseball player's son.
The baseball player's son.
That might have been Costa Rica. Then the family that died from food poisoning, I think that was Dominican. The girl who went missing recently, that was Dominican, right?
Yeah.
The girl who they think drowned.
They was making out with the guy in the
ocean. Yeah. So I think, you know, those places we crapped on a little bit. But Lazo has been to the Bahamas before. Now, I don't know if you'd go I don't know if you'd go back. But,
I liked it. Why wouldn't I go back?
Well, I don't know. Just because of all of our talk about not going to these other countries or whatever.
Yeah, like, I mean, I didn't need a passport when I went, but I feel like the Bahamas is close enough. You're good.
You feel like it's safe enough, right?
Yeah.
It's a little different. They probably have a medical tent or whatever office at some of these resorts, but I don't know. I've never been to the Bahamas, so I actually don't know what it's like. Anyhow, 23.
It's just big American hotels.
23-year-old American guy died in the Bahamas. Perfectly healthy guy. He's found dead while he's on vacation. Now, here's the thing. They find him on the beach. It's Paradise Island. Which I feel like I've seen those commercials for Paradise Island before. I looked it up, and I think it's like Royal Bahama, whatever, Paradise Island. Anyhow, the commercials look very familiar. It's not the Atlantis one, but it looked familiar. It's a huge resort, and apparently a very popular one. And this guy is found dead on the beach. Now, the family, of course, is alerted. The police down there, they say, we're looking into this. And then they get in touch with the family, and they say, okay, yeah, your loved one died. He drowned. We've done the autopsy. He drowned. You can come down here and identify the body. So the mom goes to identify the body. But she says when she goes to identify the body, they won't show her the actual body. They only show her a photograph of the body. So that's the first weird part, and I'll get to where it gets even weirder.
A Maryland family desperately looking for answers after a tragic loss while on vacation. 23-year-old aspiring music producer Denari McAlmont was found dead on the beach at the Bahamas Atlantis Paradise Island Resort. They arrived at the sprawling, globally recognized vacation destination last Friday, but less than 24 hours into their trip, his aunt told NBC News Washington, Denari was gone.
We don't have answers. We don't really know, but it's very frustrating. Seems as though everything is being pushed under the rug.
Okay, now, the police say we did the post-mortem examination. It's revealed he died of a drowning. But some people who were down at the resort are apparently telling the family, hey, you might want to look into this because there seemed to be an incident that night before he was found dead. Apparently, in one of the restaurants in the resort there, they said some witnesses, I don't know how many, claimed that they saw him arguing with someone and stand up and spit in their food before walking out of the restaurant.
Uh-oh.
Now, this is the same night. And the mom
in what
says,
restaurant do we know? In
somewhere
what?
At the resort. Like they're eating at the resort somewhere. Then the mom goes to identify the body. She says not only do they not let her see the body, she's only allowed to see the photograph, but she says it looks like he was beaten to death.
Ooh.
Yeah. And the cops are like, he drowned. So now what do you do? Now this is where you go, okay, if this was the Florida Keys, I have an idea what to do, right? You call a lawyer, you go down there. But this goes back to your thing, Lazo. I'm still now. I don't know who's in charge. I don't know who do I alert.
The Bahamas.
I think it's called Paradise Island. Maybe that's the name of the actual island. I looked up
this resort. Yeah, it's in Paradise Island. That's the island there.
Maybe it was the Atlantis thing. It's the huge one that I've seen the commercials for.
Okay.
If that's Atlantis, is that the name of the big one that you've seen?
Yeah, that's what it is. I stayed when I was there.
You did? The one with the mirroring hotels that look like identical kind of side by side.
There's a big giant slide.
I didn't see the slide in this commercial, but yes, it looked like the one with the slide. So it's the one that I recognize. So maybe that is Atlantis. But I don't know. Is that British? Who's in charge there? Whose island is that? Who owns that? Anyone know?
The Bahamas?
Yeah.
The Bahamas.
They're independent?
I think so.
They don't have any sort of affiliation with... Mm-hmm. So you just deal with them then? You just say, hey, we saw a picture.
They have their own Olympic team and everything.
Looks like he was beaten to death.
I think so they do. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. So. I don't remember them. I mean... It sounds believable. Let me tell you, if I was watching the opening ceremony and they said, here come the swimmers from the Bahamas, I would not be like, wait a second, Bahamas has a team? I would just not think anything of it. So it's perfectly possible. But I guess that means you deal with the Bahamian? Is that what
Bahamian
you say?
Police.
Police. And you say, hey, I've got an issue here. I don't know how that goes down. But it is definitely at that point a little different than if you'd been... In Florida, like I said, if your loved one's dead in Florida Keys and you go, hey, he was beaten,
a lawyer should call
a high class lawyer. Yeah. I'm sure they're probably lawyers calling you at this point once they see it on the news going, hey, do you need help?
Right.
You're like, yeah. But I mean, I don't know. Could he have drowned? Sure. He's at the beach. Maybe he was drunk.
People drown there.
Maybe he drowned in the ocean. Maybe he was pushed back up on the beach and they found his body. Maybe it's that simple. But when you start telling me that the mom says she saw a photo of his body and it looked like he was beaten,
I don't know.
That could be anything. Exactly. That
you want
it
to be more too than just he went out and drowned.
I agree.
Right? Like, I agree. That's
not enough.
That doesn't sit right. You know, if you're a parent, like, oh no,
it's too simple.
It's just a quick reminder of how fragile life is, and nobody wants to really have to deal with that.
Nope.
You know, like in that. Instant, especially if it's your kid. You know?
I totally agree. And that happens a lot in these
cases.
There's
got to be more to
go,
it because he couldn't have just went out swimming and drowned. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah. And
even though it does a lot.
You see a lot of suicides too, right? Like, no way. Because, they just don't want it to be that way.
And it's a lot of times those kind of unexpected freak accidents where people just, they can't get their head around it. I understand that.
Of course, me too. That's why if the mom had just said, if the only evidence here of something suspicious was that the mom said they wouldn't show me his body and in the picture it looked like he was beaten, I would think, I don't know what a drowning victim looks like necessarily. They've been on that table. He's been examined.
Color.
Right. And this might be post examination after they've said that he's drowned. So what all is involved in this examination?
Right.
I have no idea. It could make him look almost unrecognizable. But when you add the mom and then the witness is saying that he was arguing with someone and spat in someone's food, got up and spat in someone's food as he's walking out, because that information came out later. Like, that story I just played you, they didn't have that information yet. The stuff about these witnesses now saying that, no, there was an incident, and he spit in someone's food as he was walking out of the restaurant, now you start going, okay, but then you have to ask yourself, why would the Royal Bahama, whatever... police are called down there. Why would they need to cover that up?
Maybe just because
they
don't wrong to his food.
They just don't want to. Yeah, is that it? Do they just not want to investigate a murderer? Like, what are the reasons? Is it obvious that they would want to cover that up? Yeah,
small island.
They might know somebody.
Exactly.
But I just always expect if something that happens at a resort like that, they're all vacationers. Mm-hmm. That's what I would think. They're vacationers.
That's why I said what restaurant.
Yeah.
Because some of those restaurants, you're right there, right next to the community.
Yeah.
When you go out to eat, there's Bahamian people there.
And maybe it was a different restaurant right off the premises there. Maybe that's where they just
said it.
Or
maybe it was even on the resort and people go into the resort
to eat.
That's what I mean.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah, maybe. So you don't think it's that suspicious? Your money's on he drowned and we'll never hear about this again?
I do, yeah.
Damn. I thought those two things combined, maybe.
No, not enough.
I wasn't intrigued. I'll be honest. When I saw the news this morning, I was like, they say he drowned. She says no way. And I'm like, thinking just like you do, like that's common, you know.
Right.
And but then when I saw the stuff a couple hours ago where they're talking about how there was an incident and he spit in someone's food.
One guy in a busy restaurant?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like nobody else said anything? Nobody else was like, hey.
I don't know how many people they've talked to now. I don't know.
Right. I mean, if the whole restaurant was like, yeah, there's a big fight and he spit, and I'd be like, all right, well, talk to those people.
Right, right.
But if it's just one person, like I saw him, he got mad and spit in his... He could have jerk chicken or whatever. Like, all right, whatever.
He could have spit in someone's food and then gone swimming and drowned.
Right, those two things could happen.
They could have both happened.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo. So, you'll remember this. Publisher's Clearinghouse. Definitely a huge part of our childhoods. I mean, the commercials were on all the time. How could we possibly forget people being handed those big checks? I got the... mailers in the mail. I was never really exactly sure what I was supposed to do. I remember seeing that envelope on my table, and it would say Publisher's Clearinghouse, and I wasn't sure if I was supposed to buy something or if I just entered or if I was already entered. But didn't a lot of them, Laszlo, say you're already entered to win millions? Wasn't that the letter you got? I feel like it did, too. And there was also, if you recall on these things, there was a picture of someone's face on a lot of them, a celebrity's face. And that's going to get into the Mandela effect slash conspiracy theory here. But Publishers Clearinghouse has filed for bankruptcy. So I don't know if that means that they're going away for good or not. But it sounds like they won't be handing out any big checks anytime soon. I don't know when the last time is they handed out a check. If you're old enough, you definitely remember these commercials, though.
What's the new Publishers Clearinghouse sweepstakes doing over there?
Cluttering my desk.
Don't you know you could win $2 million?
Those contests aren't for real.
That's what we used to think.
But this check is real.
It's just a big come on.
That's what I used to think.
Do you know what this side could mean to you? Millions of dollars. So stop making excuses. Enter the one and only Publishers Clearinghouse Sweepstakes.
There's no place like our house.
Come on, send it in.
All right, you know, as I listen to that, maybe you do need to be pretty old because I'm getting up there. So, do you remember the Publishers Clearinghouse commercial?
I kind of remember.
Going to people's doors.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I don't remember that.
And I remember this being talked about like it wasn't Ed McMahon or something, or was it?
That's where the conspiracy comes in, and the Mandela effect. Now, what they use is proof, because if you recall, on those envelopes, there were pictures. And I remember seeing the picture of Ed McMahon's face on a lot of those envelopes. And it said, hey, you know, I might be handing you a check. You could win. And what these conspiracy theorists use as evidence is that Ed McMahon was once on Tom Green's show, okay? I think this was like after Tom Green's show got taken off of MTV, but he still did it online maybe, somewhere in that weird era. But Ed McMahon was on Tom Green's show. And Tom Green, before he interviewed Ed McMahon, did the thing that Tom Green used to do. He went around on the street and he interviewed people and said, hey, I'm going to have Ed McMahon on the show. What would you like to ask him? And one of the guys that he interviewed says, tell him that he owes me some money. He still owes me $10 million, something like that. And Tom Green says that at the time, he didn't understand why this guy was saying it. Why would Ed McMahon owe you money? I don't think Ed McMahon owes you any money. And then when he gets on the show, once Tom Green is sitting there in the studio with Ed McMahon, he's telling him this, and he goes, but I forgot about the Publisher's Clearinghouse stuff and you handing out those checks. And Ed's like, yeah, exactly, right? So then he says, you know, what was it like handing out those checks? I'll play you a clip. I mean, this is from his show.
All right, now you know who I have on my show tonight?
No, but I'd love to
Ed McMahon is on my show tonight
really?
For a full hour. You want to say something to Ed McMahon?
I do. Ed, I'm still waiting for my check, and I'm kind of bitter that, you know, I haven't received it yet. I hope it's 10-plus because I've been waiting a long time.
Tell him that if you run into him again, tell him he came in second.
Yeah.
He was that close. Yeah, he could have won the money.
You would actually walk up to people's doorsteps and give them the check?
Oh, yeah, sure.
How many times did you present someone with a million dollar check?
Well, I gave away $110
million. $110
million? Yeah.
How good must have that felt?
Oh, it's wonderful. We had to have a nurse in residence. Are you kidding me? It's a wonderful feeling, you know, to give somebody $1 million.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
I didn't really connect what they were talking about. They started saying that you owed them money for a check or something like that. And I wasn't thinking about Publishers Clearinghouse.
I wasn't thinking of Publishers Clearinghouse. I just didn't understand why they would say you owe money. And then he goes on to say all this. Here's the thing. Ed McMahon never worked for Publishers Clearinghouse.
Wait, that's not true?
He never gave out checks for Publishers Clearinghouse. That is true that he didn't work for Publishers Clearinghouse.
Well, why is
it
he
is true
he
that he never gave out checks. And that is what these conspiracy theorists use as evidence. Look, here he is talking about Publishers Clearinghouse right there and handing out those checks. We can't be wrong. It was his face on those envelopes. Ed McMahon didn't work for Publishers Clearinghouse. He was a spokesperson for American Family Publishers. That's all. That's the difference. It was another group exactly like Publishers Clearinghouse.
Well,
so in the conspiracy, exactly, end it right there. This is like the 9/11 truthers when they got me
so
with loose chains.
So it was just one guy. It was a company that did the same exact thing.
Same exact thing. Presumably, they give out checks. And yes, I do. So I do remember Ed McMahon's picture on those envelopes. It's just that it was American Family Publishers.
Okay.
I looked into this and it comes up immediately. You know, AI talks about how common this is that people think that this, you know, Mandela effect.
Right. There's a Bernstein.
Right. It's like, no, he worked.
I'm like, who cares?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Bernstein, Bernstein, whatever. We were saying it wrong.
I said Bernstein, but. Yeah. I'm guessing someone just said that to me in my head. I made it an E instead of an A.
It's Berenstain Bears.
How did you say it?
Berenstain.
Yeah, that's what we said. Right. Berenstain Bears. But it's actually supposed to be what?
Berenstain.
Berenstain, I think. Yeah. Berenstain Bears. Yeah, but I know that my teachers didn't say it that way. So that's where that comes from. It's just a bunch of people were saying it wrong, you know? And it probably spreads in a group like that. Maybe even it's a regional thing. I don't know. But Publishers Clearinghouse is out of business. I don't know about American Family Publishers. I haven't heard from them in a long time. But Publishers Clearinghouse, I shouldn't say they're out of business.
That
they filed for
weird
bankruptcy.
Thing, no, and I even said it the other day when we were going to, what color is chartreuse?
We've done this before, right?
Yeah, just tell me what color it is. First thing that comes to your mind.
I'm red.
You?
Wait, what are we talking about?
What color is chartreuse?
Chartreuse Caboose, the restaurant?
The color, chartreuse. That's what it's a. He doesn't know that's a color.
I know it's a color. No.
I always thought it was reddish pink, too. But it's green.
And
the sign is green, and it actually made me think of it the other day of the Mandela effect. So I was like, you know, it is green. I swear, like a collective memory of everyone I know, if I would have asked you what chartreuse, it would have been like a purplish red type of color.
What sign are you talking about? The sign for
Chartreuse
what?
Caboose.
Okay.
Right? Their sign is green, which is what made me think of it. I'm like, why is there
That's
Chartreuse Caboose? Shut up.
For some reason I
you
pictured
didn't
it red.
You know it was a color 3 minutes ago.
I know, but when you thought about the restaurant, I was like, I think it's green.
Right. Because the only thing, the only
just
way.
Just now found out that's the color.
The only reason really? I'm coming up with the color was because of the restaurant. Like, I'm associating it with that restaurant.
But the restaurant's green.
I understand. But in my head, for some reason, I think of as a kid, like a red boxcar sort of thing. You know what I mean? So that was my guess, because it really wasn't a strong guess. You asked me to give a guess, and I went with red. It's definitely not. If you said, what color is it? Are you confident? I would have said not confident at all. I just know that I associate that word with red. It's kind of like that, what do they call that? There's a term for that. We associate colors with certain things. I have this reddish image. You do, too, for some reason, so it must have come from somewhere. But anyhow, Publishers Clearinghouse.
Also, the other one that gets me as a collective memory is the I would swear, and I know it's not true, the Monopoly guy had a monocle.
That's ridiculous.
Like, I thought for sure he did.
He did.
He didn't.
I know, but he did. That's
Why?
Ridiculous.
Are you so we have the same shared memory of that?
Of course, everybody does. That's like one of the most common ones I see, and people get really worked up. It's probably between that and Berenstain Bears that I see people
the
get Berenstain the most worked up about.
The Berenstain just means I probably looked, I didn't care. One, when you read it to me, I probably couldn't read.
Yeah.
So later on when I went to read, I was like, oh. I was just doing whatever you said. Like, I get why we would all screw that up in our heads.
Yeah. The monocle.
The monocle one. I'm like, dude, I had a monocle.
So some people say that that's because of Ace Ventura 2. Because in Ace Ventura 2, there's a scene where he goes, oh, you must be the Monopoly guy. And that guy had like a monocle, I think.
I've never seen
scene.
Ace Ventura 2.
And, well, so there you go. That's right. Not your excuse. But there, I've seen that listed as a reason that maybe
Mr.
we
Peanut
think
had
that.
Had a monocle, right?
Yeah.
Who?
Mr. Peanut?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's,
but I'm not confusing Mr. Peanut with the.
Well, no.
They say we are. That's
know,
one
that's
of the
it.
Things they
As
say.
They say, like, oh, you're probably confusing Mr. Peanut. I'm like, why would I confuse Mr. Peanut?
I know.
Why would that be my memory? Like, every time I played Monopoly, I sat with peanuts? That doesn't even make any sense.
I think it's.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's not.
The monocle seems like this is something the fancy pants rich guy has, you know?
Yeah.
Now, maybe are they both wearing hats that are similar, Mr. Peanut
they
and
both
the Monopoly
have top
guy?
Hats, right?
I think the hats are fairly similar, so maybe that could be where it comes from. But yeah, I can. When you visualize the Monopoly guy on that board, there's a monocle there. There is, and it's not. It's obviously not just a few people. It's a lot of people. So whatever causes Mandela effects, even if it's not a glitch in the Matrix, I still think it's interesting that we can have shared memories that are wrong for some reason. It, just like this Ed McMahon thing, we have this shared memory that Ed McMahon handed out checks for Publishers Clearinghouse when he didn't. Well, now we know the reason. This one's easy to look up. The people who are perpetuating the conspiracy theory, I'm sure, taking the time to put these videos together. Here's proof. He was on Tom Green. Tom Green said Publishers Clearinghouse. He didn't correct him. Yeah, but, you know, they were both talking at the same time. I'm sure you know how to Google, and you can find out that he worked for a very similar organization that handed out big checks.
Right, right.
If he never handed out the big checks,
that would be something.
And yeah, his face was never on the mailers. Now we got something, if we all remember that.
Now, I did just look it up, and some of what they're saying about the Monopoly guy is that they sold, now I don't remember this, but now this could lead us to that some Halloween costumes sold those guys who looked like the Monopoly guy, and they came with monocles.
I don't remember Halloween costumes.
Me neither, but it would make more sense if I saw pictures of that when I was shopping for Halloween costumes. Like, okay, well, now I've put two and two together.
Yeah, right. It's like the Ace Ventura thing. I have seen Ace Ventura, so if that's the reason, I think he's got the monocle, and he says, you must be the Monopoly guy, if that's where I'm getting it, or Mr. Peanut, or a combination of the two. I'm with Lazo. Why the peanut? Why am I mixing them up? Just because of the hats?
But no, because
one. You know, why would I mix those two up? I don't know. I think he had a monocle, and I think our memories are right, and the Matrix is just wrong.
The Church of Lazo.
Yo.
Yo. Still looking at Mandela.
Yeah, I mean, too, and I'm looking at that one. They're also saying that, which makes more sense, the Peanut Man I never got. I'm like, well, I'm not confusing the Peanut Man. That's just stupid. So, but other people are saying Scrooge McDuck, just an old rich dude in the cartoons that we watched as kids all look the same to us. I'm like, well, okay.
Did he have a monocle all the time?
He did.
Like he always had it on? Or?
Yeah, Scrooge McDuck.
Okay.
I could confirm.
That's more believable than the peanut guy, I think. I don't know. It could be for me that it's an Ace Ventura thing, but the fact that you've never seen it.
I've never seen it.
Makes me think that it's got to be something different. You guys ever had duck? You guys have eaten duck, right?
I'm looking at Scrooge McDuck now. He doesn't always have a monocle.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about Scrooge McDuck? I was going to ask if you've ever eaten duck.
I don't like it.
You don't like it?
I've cooked it myself and gotten it out at restaurants. And me and Chacho, usually I would say once a year if we're at a restaurant and it's offered, one of us gets it because it sounds like it should be delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not.
Like, I won't eat it because my dad was allergic to it, so I've always been. It's so dumb because my brothers have eaten it.
It's just like dark meat chicken, only not as good.
Okay, dark. But so it's dark meat.
Yeah,
I remember I think when I was in London for the Chiefs game, a lot of people. There was a lot of restaurants there that were serving duck, and a lot of Americans who were like, "We're gonna get some duck while we're here," you know. And they called ahead, and I saw a lot of duck being eaten, and I just didn't eat it. But I mean, It looked fine. It's just, you know, something I've never tried, and I don't plan on trying it. But I saw these guys online on one of the socials. I don't know which one. They're going up to this woman at a restaurant, and they're saying, hey, you're in trouble. You said you were serving duck, and it wasn't duck, huh? And she's like, no, it's not true. It's not true. And they're like, no,
like
it's
all,
true.
All duck is ham?
It's true. Yeah, one of these. Well, close. They're like, wait, you got busted. And she's like, no, it's not true. And then they point the camera at this cook. I don't know if he's related to this woman or not, in the kitchen back. They're like, hey, man, you're in trouble. You were the one who was breeding those damn things. You're the ones who was, you know, cutting them up and serving them. And they're accusing them of serving pigeons and saying that it's duck. And I was like, well, that just seems like, you know, kind of a weird thing for these social media people to be doing. Where did this come from? And then I see this headline that it did happen. The establishment is in Madrid. And it's now been closed. And I know, Lazo, as long as it happens in another country, anything like this, you're not worried about it anyway. And I tend to agree. Like, if another.
But why would they call it duck and then just call it squab?
Exactly. They serve pigeon at restaurants in other countries commonly. According to one of the YouTube guys I watched this morning, one of these world travelers, and he talked about squab.
Do it
and
high,
he tasted it. And,
super high end restaurants here.
Okay,
they
maybe
just call
they do.
It squab.
Maybe they do. But yeah, he showed going in other countries that maybe it was just more common there that people were willing to eat it. But the headline here is that this Chinese restaurant has been closed because they were selling pigeon as duck. Now, look,
if you're
just mislabeling the food, then, you know, okay. But they were also
I think is like veal.
It's like a baby pigeon.
Yeah, I don't think like it sees sunlight or whatever. Like it's bred. They don't go out and grab a pigeon from New York City
it's bread to be eaten.
This article said that they were
massaged and stuff.
Sure, and tortured. This thing says that they were selling street pigeons as roasted.
Yeah, so that would be a different than squab.
They were forced to close when police found a pair of plucked pigeons in a storage room alongside bags of meat of also unknown origin. Which, man, I'm sorry. I'm trying. They find the pigeons in there. I don't know how they know they're street pigeons if they're plucked. Like, you know, if people eat pigeon, it could have come from a reputable food pigeon breeder. Right. I don't know. But anyway, somehow they said they're street pigeons. And then they see other meat along in this ice box, and they go, yeah, we don't know what any of this other meat is. That is somewhat common. That if I'm eating at a cheap kind of a restaurant, a lot of times I don't know what kind of meat it is. If you tell me, hey, this is like, it's got beef, chicken, pork, it's all of it in one, I'm confident. I've had plenty of it while today. I don't know which is which half the time.
When I was overseas in the military and we were in the Middle East, a buddy of mine was like, man, I'm starving. And I was on watch and he's like, I'm going to go grab something from a restaurant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Two weird things happened. Two different occasions, but I'll make it quick for you. One of them, he came back and he got chicken.
Yeah.
And we opened up the boxes and he's like, have you ever seen a chicken leg that looked like that? And I'm like, dude, that's a cat's leg. Like, it was the thigh like this, really big, and then long and skinny with two parts.
Oh, boy.
I mean, we ate it.
Mm-hmm.
But we were like, that is clearly a cat's leg.
How was it?
It
tastes like chicken?
I don't remember, you know. To be honest with you, we were a little freaked out and we just kind of ate it. But I don't think it was anything that was like, it wasn't disgusting.
Okay.
And then the other one, a guy, we were drunk and they made this big deal about a tongue sandwich.
Yeah.
That you had to, and so I guess in our minds, like, you know, it's a cow's tongue sandwich, right? But you open it up and it was a bunch of little tongues.
From what?
That I don't know, but it was a bunch of them on bread, like, little pieces of them with a...
You sure it wasn't just sliced up bits of tongue?
No. They were like little tongues.
Okay, so you're thinking cat tongues.
Yeah, that's what I assume.
That's what you're assuming again.
I'm like, this dude's just cutting up cats.
You think he's got a lot of cats back there?
Yeah, he's just taking their tongues out, cutting them up. That's the tongue sandwich.
What are you cooking back there, damn cat?
Man.
Yeah, well, this restaurant, they made it clear to say, hey, look, it's not illegal to serve this stuff, but it's supposed to be done properly, and they highly suspect that they snatched these pigeons off the street in Madrid, and you're not supposed to do that. So that's why they're in trouble. As for the meat of unknown origin on ice, I don't know if they're worried about that or if they're just like, yeah, you know, that part's normal.
Get the squab.
The pigeons, we know, those pigeons look very familiar, and you can't serve those.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
So, I don't think this will surprise you very much, but this is out of Iowa. There's a hospital up there, okay? And apparently it's a Catholic hospital. And so, you know, this isn't like the Catholic Church did this. It's just, it's a specific Catholic hospital, it looks like, that this story is about. But apparently in Iowa, court ordered awards for non-economic losses stemming from medical malpractice are capped at $250,000. Okay?
Okay.
Except in cases that entails, and this is in quote, the loss or impairment of mind or body. Okay?
Yeah. So if they cut off the wrong leg.
Yeah.
Or cut off a leg when they shouldn't.
Yeah. Or somebody dies. Right? Yeah. So the...
Or they make you go crazy?
I don't know if that would...
Right,
yeah.
Because it says mind,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mind or body, so I guess, yeah.
If I guess that's your maybe brain, if like a brain psychiatrist damage. Or something, right?
Or if they like...
All right, if they cut off the blood flow. But right. I was like, can a psychiatrist get sued for more? Because they
I don't know.
I was just curious. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Anyhow.
That's me speculating. Don't you worry about it, buddy.
Yeah.
You keep going.
So that's the quote, you know, loss or impairment of mind or body. Otherwise, it's $250,000 cap, right, for these lawsuits. Mm-hmm. So this is the Catholic Health Initiatives Iowa. They are arguing in a medical malpractice case that the loss of an unborn child does not equate to the death of a person for the purposes of calculating damages.
Well, that's a real argument they're wading themselves into, aren't they?
Can you believe, like, hey, wait a second. We've got caps on this stuff. So if something happens, we're not paying for a person And I mean, you got to think that somebody in that hospital is like, well, we can't say that. We can't publicly argue this, okay? We cannot go to court and say, no, a fetus shouldn't count as a person. We can't do that because we've, you know, kind of closely aligned with an organization that's been doing just the opposite for quite a few years.
Why would they be?
What do you mean?
Who's
they're who? They're a Catholic hospital.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
A Catholic hospital.
Yeah. Catholic Health Initiatives.
Are those owned by Catholic churches?
It says that they're
faith-based health. Like, is St. Luke's really owned by the Catholic Church?
No, St. Luke's is Episcopalian.
Okay, but is that, do they follow it's like, their,
I think people donate. I don't know who, where the bulk of the money comes from originally. Like, but
and
they,
are they under they some align sort of themselves. Guide by them? Or?
No, but it's like, I've looked this up on Wikipedia.
I guess my question was
either.
Just, you know, like.
That's what I said.
Even though it's like a Catholic, you know, St. John's Catholic Church or whatever, or hospital.
Right.
Is it really part of the Catholic religion?
That's what I said. This is not the Catholic Church doing this.
Right.
It is a Catholic hospital doing this. But still, you can see
why see the irony.
People
I
are sharing
just, it made
that.
Me think of that. Like, are they really Catholic?
I don't
like,
think the Catholic Church would, you know, if the Catholic Church was worried about, for whatever reason, damages.
Right, sure.
I don't think the Catholic Church would publicly say, hey,
I think the Catholic Church would say 7-year-old boys, they don't count.
I mean, in a way, yeah, sure. But you get what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I think the Catholic hospital, whatever that relationship is to the actual church, whether it's just that the people there are Catholics, whether they have nuns working there as nurses, I really don't know. But they call it a faith-based healthcare provider, and it's a Catholic faith-based healthcare provider. And so in this legal, you know, argument, they are now.
So now what are people saying?
They're arguing, well, I guess they're going to take it to court and see what happens, but right. They're just arguing that the because of the way that that's worded, the $250,000 cap, except sure, loss of impairment of mind or body, they don't want the fetus to be a loss of a mind or body. There's no loss of mind or body in a fetus. That's at least the way I took it, you know. It's not the same. It's for the purposes of calculating damage awards, at least. It's not the same. If we're talking about putting a dollar amount on it that we have to pay, then it's not the same.
Right, but if we're talking about a time amount of jail you have to go to.
Right.
Well, then it's quite a bit.
Different. Exactly. Really quite a
bit. The Church of Laszlo.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it, buddy.
We're done.
Waiting on those White Sox to lose.
Yeah.
Lose.
Especially you talking to German dudes. That was fun.
Yeah, I know you love that.
Yeah.
I'll teach you something else on Monday.
Yeah. That's exciting.
Yep.
Just thinking about you as a young man in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Getting Victor von Sleeman all over you.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Anyway, good show. Hey, you know what the name was?
What?
I don't know if you know this or not.
Is this going to be a Mandela thing? Or?
Yeah. Rich Uncle Pennybags.
Oh, is that his name?
That was his name. I didn't know. I just always called him Monopoly Man. But yeah. I looked it up. I realized it was Rich Uncle Pennybags. Huh?
Interesting.
Stay positive, kids.
The Church of Laszlo.